It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 46 today. We thank you for being with us. We've been waiting all week to see you here today. And we know that you've been waiting for us to show up as well. So let's enjoy the next hour. Clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. And as I always say, because it's basically true, the pool is fine. The hot tub is fired up. The grill is full blast. We have a little campfire out back. Your favorite cold beverage off to the left. Hot beverages, you'll have to go inside. You can stay inside. You can come back out and enjoy the sunshine. Fruit and vegetables and some other side dishes off to the right. We're just glad that you're here enjoying clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. There is no better way. You can wear two or three pairs of jeans at once and maybe five or six sweatshirts. Yuck. Not fun at all. And as a lot of people in the community say, when they put clothes on, because they have to go to the store, the post office, whatever, as they're putting the clothes on, they're counting the minutes until they can come back off. And if you're an avid listener, an avid naturist, nudist, clothes-free living person, you know that feeling very well. Well, on today's show, we will have another report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom. Andy Rogers is the chairperson of the winner aspect of ANNR, that's Women in Nude Recreation, for the American Association for Nude Recreation. Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom, visited the Sun Meadows Sun Seekers Resort Club, and they will tell us all about that. Of course, our resident correspondent, our weekly correspondent on all things naturism, nudism, naked around the globe, the terrific Lisa Monroe will be with us. And then, believe it or not, it feels like it's an Andy Rogers extravaganza. We have a full-length interview with Andy Rogers coming up, part one on today's show, and part two, 2 weeks from today. Now, Andy Rogers has been through a lot in her life, but she found her way out, and that's the key to life, the key to success. Yeah, you go through a lot. We all go through a lot. Can you find your way out? If you do, there's a whole lot of sunshine waiting for you on the other side. And Andy Rogers definitely found her way out. Now she is thriving and telling the world all about it. So again, part one of my interview with Andy Rogers on today's show, and part two, 2 weeks from now on episode 48. Now, that's the second time in 2 weeks, and I have skipped episode 47. What's going on next week on episode 47? Well, do we have a surprise for you? On next week's show, which will be episode 47, we will be interviewing the two people who are running for the office of president for the American Association for Nude Recreation. That, of course, is the current sitting vice president, Tim Mullins, and Linda Weber. I am the face of naturism. I think everybody knows both people. Tim Mullins has been involved with AANR for a very long time. And, of course, Linda Weber has been on social media. Everybody knows her from there. We'll interview both people next week on episode 47. How about that? So if you have not decided for whom to vote, next week might be your week. Voting is going on now and will end on June 20th. So there's still plenty of time to make your decision. But that is our surprise for next week. We will have two interviews on the same show. First, Tim Mullins, and then secondly, Linda Weber, both running for the office of president. So we will do that next week. Well, again, you are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you had a great clothes-free week. Hope you're ready to enjoy the day today. And now let's get to the latest report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom.
Hi, this is Andy.
And this is Tom on the Winter on Wheels I'm Perfect Tour.
We had a pretty great drive from Ontario, Oregon to Worley, Idaho. Just a mere 6-hour drive, but which in an RV means 8 to 10. There was a road sign about halfway there that said Yakima, Washington, and let me tell you, it was hard not to get on that exit. Yakima is one of our hometowns and where most of our family is. But we stayed on course and thought we'd found a pretty good route to Worley. Well, Google wanted us to drive underneath a train trestle, which I'm sure we wouldn't have even cleared, and onto a narrow dirt road. So, nope, that wasn't happening. So we opted for a wider gravel road that finally connected us with the pavement. And an hour later than we expected, we arrived just outside of Worley, where the non-landed club of Sun Meadow Sunseekers are. And you may remember Sun Meadow Resort. That was just a fantastic nudist destination here in Idaho. But after it was sold, the club members decided to form a non-landed club. And we were there for the Northwest AANR Spring Board meeting and to also give a presentation for winter on Friday night. Friday afternoon, when we pulled into our spot for the weekend, our hosts, Bill and Kathy, welcomed us in and invited us into their just beautiful home. We got to know their dog, Gracie, who is just as sweet as she can be. And it was a welcome surprise when they said, hey, we've got these steaks for dinner if you want to join us. Well, heck yes, we do. And it was just fantastic. We enjoyed our evening with them immensely and taught them some new games. You may remember the one that we learned in Lake Havasu called Will the Bell Ring. Well, they loved it, and it was fun getting to share a game we just learned with others. Since this was a meeting weekend, we decided to have the I'm Perfect presentation on Friday night, as Saturday and Sunday were filled with our AANR meetings. Six ladies joined me at one of the homes on property, and I was so excited about this presentation because I knew most of the women who would join me. Two of these women were co-owners of Sun Meadow Resort, Terry and Margie, and incredibly strong, confident women. And then, of course, Gypsy, who is the Northwest treasurer. She's a participant of the WOW campaign and a dear friend as well. As we shared our experiences about how we became nudists, I just always love to hear other people's stories on how they discovered this way of life and what it's done for them. My life changed entirely when I became a nudist. I went from having an incredibly low self-esteem to being confident and sassy. I shared how I was told that I was ugly and homely the first 18 years of my life, to which one woman said, "How can that be? You are a beautiful woman." And to her, I replied, "I know." And that is a statement I would not have been able to make even 4 years ago. For nearly 50 years, I've felt uncomfortable with my body and my looks, always feeling like I don't even like how I smile. But after taking many pictures at each stop along the way, I've looked back and found that I'm learning to love my smile, especially when it's big and bright. Being a part of the nudist family and having such incredible friendships with the women of the community has been a crucial part of that journey to feeling I'm perfect. I handed out calendars to anyone who didn't have one yet, and we all took our photo together to finish out the evening.
The guys all got together and sat around a table and chatted a bit with what we loved. That's one thing we love to do. Since we are here for the Northwest Board meeting, this is the group of people that I actually learned about Anna from. So there was no need for discussion about Anna and the Anna things that are going on. We talked a bit how retirement was treating everybody well. So we all decided to play some card games and that we had introduced to them. We had lots of laughter. Everybody really enjoyed the time together, and it was just great.
And then the rest of the weekend, we enjoyed the company of many of the Sun Meadow Sunseekers as they provided breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all of us. And Saturday night, there was a DJ dance for all, board members and club members alike. Then Sunday, after our official board meeting concluded, Terry and Mike got out their Mölkky set, and we spent hours playing in the gorgeous sunshine. If you've never played, it's a really fun game that involves multiple players. In a nutshell, you have 12 wooden pins of similar dimensions marked from 1 to 12, and one bigger throwing pin, and that's what's called the Mölkky. The number pins are placed in a tight formation, a throwing line is drawn a few feet away from the pins, and all players take turns knocking down numbered pins with the Mölkky, and the first player to exactly 50 points wins the game. And there's a lot of other details to it, but it's a lot of fun. You should check it out. Give it a try. Great for groups. And then Tom and I wandered back to our host's home and spent the rest of the afternoon playing Will the Bell Ring and also a few other card games we taught them. We loved Nines and Three Blind Mice, all fun games where you can just keep adding decks of cards as more people join in. They taught us a new version of Hand and Foot we hadn't learned before, and this version throws in a knee. It's another card game that involves 6 to 8 decks of cards. Super fun and a great way to spend time together while the conversation flows. This group, as I was told, spent a lot of time playing games together. Sun Meadow Sunseekers is really a unique group because it feels more like you're in your hometown neighborhood. They're a great community of people supporting each other and doing the best they can to take care of each other. They get together at least once a month for potluck and in the summer a pool party, maybe some bunco. But on any given evening, you're going to find many neighbors together sitting around the tables playing cards in someone's home. We hated to say goodbye, but it was only for a while since we know we're going to be back for another board meeting. And we also encouraged them to come our way for Serenity Mountain Retreats Music Festival in August.
Until next time, we'll see you down the road.
And there you go, the latest report from Andy Rogers and her husband Tom. She is with WINR, Women in Nude Recreation, part of the American Association for Nude Recreation. She was put in that position by the current president, Mitch London. This report, of course, was from the Sun Meadow Sunseekers. And we appreciate all of the time and effort that Andy Rogers and her husband Tom are putting in. And they're not done yet. They have a few more RV stops. They'll go home for a little bit and catch their breath and then hit the road again. And we'll have more reports throughout the summer. So we thank Andy Rogers and her husband Tom once again. You are listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist, episode 46 today. Thank you for being with us. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you're having a great clothes-free day, as we like to say around here. And don't forget, on next week's show, yeah, that's right, next week, you don't have to wait very long at all. We will have both people who are running for the presidency of the AANR, that's Tim Mullins and Linda Weber. Both of them will be on the same show next week. And we want you to be back for that, of course. So as we are headed into the summer months in the Northern Hemisphere, definitely the United States of America, Canada, of course, not so much south of the equator, but north of the equator, definitely. What are your plans? Are you going to resorts, nude beaches, hanging out in the backyard? What are your plans for a clothes-free summer? You can drop us a line at nakedforevermore@gmail.com. And don't forget, please, please, please to like, review, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, as well as YouTube, because we do give you a brand new YouTube preview every Wednesday morning on YouTube. Hope you're enjoying those as well. Well, as you can tell by the music that has been sneaking up on us ever so slowly, it's time for the one, the only, the terrific, the over-the-top wonderful, our weekly correspondent on naturism, Lisa Monroe. Here she is, the one and only, the fully clothed free, fully smiling, and fully loaded with a basket of goodies, the terrific Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Not all these goodies are for you, so right. Just don't get so excited about it. But yes, you know, it's going to be a fun day, so I thought I'd bring a few things in.
All right. Now, the basket is covered. You're not showing me what's under there. It smells like freshly baked bread. Am I at least correct?
And there might be some freshly baked bread. There might be some cookie. I'm just not telling yet.
Okay.
Keeping you in suspense, Frank.
You're just trying to fatten us up around here. That's okay.
That's it.
No complaints ever. Well, we appreciate you bringing that
good.
In.
Good, good.
I wanted to get right away to an email from a gentleman named Bruce. He's down in Adelaide in South Australia. He'll be a guest on the show not too long from now. And we'll just go ahead and read the email and then discuss it. I'll kick it off. This is Bruce, again, from Adelaide, South Australia. I really appreciate your commitment to promoting clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. Well, we appreciate that. We really do, Bruce. I'm also looking forward to my upcoming interview on your show. Back in 2016, I wrote and published my first book. It was an illustrated children's book to encourage children to accept who they are and not try to be like others. I want to take it from there.
It's not a naturist book, even though when I wrote it, I was a secret closet naturist. So I'm glad I've come out of the closet now. After it was first published, I sent a free copy to a local Christian radio station that ran a Christian bookshop to see if they would like to have my book available in their shop. After they received my book, I received an email from them to inform me that my book was rejected and they would not supply or promote it due to nudity in the illustrations. According to them, it is not something that a child should see and therefore not appropriate in a child's book. The illustration in question is of a man in the shower with cows looking at him. The man's hand is strategically placed to cover any bits that might offend.
Okay, I'll take it from there. Even though this book was rejected by that store, I have sold it through other suppliers. I've had positive feedback from people telling me they found this book in their local primary school library, both public and private schools. To me, this raises the question of why some people can be very extreme and think that a child seeing a cartoon-style picture of someone in the shower can be inappropriate. And then he goes ahead to thank us and gave us permission to read this email. And the photo in question, I shouldn't say photo, it's an illustration, we see as the reader, the guy is basically facing the camera showering in the barn with, as he mentioned, I think his private bits are covered, you know, with his hand. Behind him are three cows in the doorway looking at him like, what are you doing here type of thing, I guess. I don't even know the gist of the story. And it was rejected. And so my thoughts, Lisa, and I want to hear what you think about this, is I don't try to push anything on anybody. If the store didn't want it, then don't take it. At the same time, I believe in letting families do what they want. And there would be nothing wrong with that picture if people were used to naturism. It's when you're not used to it, oh my gosh, the guy has his clothes off in the shower, as though that's an unusual thing. I think everybody showers with their clothes off. So it shouldn't be that unusual, but it affects some people different ways. That's why we're doing the show, to make it more normal and natural, which it is. But we're not there yet as a society. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you. I think that, you know, it is to each his own. And every one of us have a different upbringing, a different way of looking at things. And when you also start to add perhaps a religious element into it, then that sometimes brings a different way of looking at things. Spiritual people sometimes tend to feel they need to protect more than you know, the average person on the street, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, it's a business. So, you know, they have to deal with what their customers are going to come to them and say. So they have to make those decisions for themselves, whether we agree with them or not. And from what I can tell, I don't think this is a very offensive illustration at all. I have not seen it, but it doesn't sound to be. And, you know, I've watched a lot of cartoons. So, you know, there's a lot of, as a child, okay, maybe I should rephrase that. But, okay, I didn't watch any yesterday. Anyway, okay. I think that we protect children too much in some ways, because when we prevent them from seeing something that's innocent, then we make that innocence bad, and that makes everything else even bad. So,
And I don't recommend anything for parents at all. They're your kids. It's your family. Right. Do what you think is best. But I guess I would recommend, on the other hand, and I'm a little bit careful on this one too, why not just publish it and let the parents choose? Whatever bookstore first rejected it, the parent goes in there, they don't even see the book, so they can't decide yes or no. It's just not even there. But then again, you know, there have been, I guess, Christian stores, other stores too. Cultural type stores, they sell certain items, but they don't sell other items because they don't believe in it, you know, based on their culture, based on their beliefs, based on their whatever. Do we force them to sell everything? Hey, I want this in your store, pal. No, I mean, it's their store. If we want to own a store, then we can sell what we want, right?
I agree with that completely. You know, there's been a lot of controversy about certain stores refusing to do certain things for certain people. And, you know, there's a fine line here, as you said, of where people have a right to be able to walk into any store and say, hey, bake me a cake. But then there's also the right of the owner who has that establishment and has their own beliefs to say no. So, you know, I think sometimes we get so embroiled in the issue that we forget to look at the peripheral and try to make sure that we're looking at the bigger picture, because, you know, it's really easy to just sort of suddenly go, I'm ticked off and I'm mad about this, and so I'm going to raise Cain. But I understand his frustrations. You write something, you think it's good, and then you get it rejected, but that's the bane of an author as well.
Yeah, and if you go to the store and they don't have what you want, go to another store. If they have it, great. There's your go-to store from now on. And I can guarantee you this. I shouldn't say guarantee, but 90% guarantee. If something sells well, the store owner is going to carry it. So once we get naturism out there more in the mainstream, that it's a real thing, not a sexualized thing, but just clothes for a living for all the right reasons, I guarantee you certain shops that wouldn't touch it now would touch it then, because it's money, and that's what business is all about. I guess you agree.
I do agree, and I think there's one prime example. There was a book called 50 Shades of Grey, and that book is not one that would normally be on the public shelf in a library or in a, you know, in a bookstore. But it became a cultural phenomenon. And I think everyone was grabbing it and reading it because everyone else was grabbing it and reading it. Nobody got upset if they saw it on the bus or on the car or on your desk. And so it became, because it was accepted despite the subject matter, it then became something that everybody got into. So it, that's kind of a, that's that level of acceptance that we have to get before we can get anywhere.
In my email response to him, I said a number of things, but the one message I wanted to focus on, you and I, as well as scores of others, are here to show people the way, the truth, and the life, so let's continue on our journey, meaning making naturism normal. It goes back to what we've talked about so many times, so let's just do it, go from there, but not push people into it. That wouldn't work either. I want to once again thank Bruce. Bruce Kurtzer down in Adelaide, South Australia. He'll be a guest on a future show, not too long from now, in fact. But today, Lisa, is Saturday, May the 11th, and you and I are hosting our very first naturist get-together. I won't call it a party. We're not really party animals, but we're having people over to enjoy the pool, the sunshine, the grill, the campfire, everything that I say at the beginning of the show. And I have a few friends coming over, and they are naturists, and they're grateful we're doing this. A couple of them are listeners who contacted us. They don't live too far away. So I said, what the heck? We're doing this May 11th. Come on over. So we will be meeting some people today. Anybody in particular? Because I know you invited some people as well. Who are you bringing along?
I did. And a couple of people who have been long-term naturists that I've known for a long time. And then there are a couple who are relatively new to this. So they were kind of like, oh, and I said, nice small group. People have been doing this for a long time. Nobody cares. Just, you know, they've gone to new beaches. They went to a resort once. They felt comfortable, but they're still a little bit kind of weird about meeting new people. So it should be an interesting afternoon.
Yeah, I think so. And I told a few people because they said, do I have to walk in and get clothes off right away? And I said, well, that's the general concept. But no, you don't have to. You know, you do what you need to do for yourself. And when you're comfortable, take them off. If that means 1 second after the door shuts, go for it. If it's 15 minutes, an hour, never, that's okay too. We're not here to force anybody to do anything. But I think it's going to be great. I went out last night and got steaks and hamburgers. I did not get hot dogs this time because I knew we wouldn't have enough room on the grill. Yeah. But you brought the baked goods already this morning.
Yes.
Is that what the basket is for? Is this for me or is that for the afternoon gathering?
Well, it's for you, sort of, but for everyone. And I have a few things in there for Jennifer and the crew. So anyway, and I'm bringing all the side stuff, potato salad, baked beans. There's a lot of stuff that's coming, some hors d'oeuvres, a salad, fruit. We have just about everything and some desserts.
Okay. Now, I think that I make a pretty darn good pizza. I've been told that by others. It's not my own opinion. But you might know Jim and Cindy. I think you met them before. They think they are the all-time greats in pizza making. So they're bringing a pizza over. I'm not going to make one. There's no competition, but we'll see. I've never met a pizza that I didn't like, so I'm sure it's pretty good.
I haven't met a pizza I didn't like either. But however, I will definitely act like it's really good. I've had your pizza. It's delicious. So, you know, my loyalties are, you know, strong. So anyway, but I'm sure it'll be great.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you're talking about people coming and you know, I know the one couple that I invited that I'm surprised he won't be ripping his clothes off as he gets out of the car.
Well, he might.
Because he's like rabid, like he doesn't want to wear clothes at all. Yeah. But the other couple I think is going to be interesting. And what I've always felt that we should do, and I know we've had some listeners ask about this, is just let people come at their own pace.
Right.
And so there's, you know, they can go in the bathroom. There's going to be a rack for them to hang their clothes up so everything doesn't get in a pile. And they can, you know, do this as they feel comfortable. If they want to walk out the pool, sit for a while, that's fine too. Because you have to let people do this as they feel good about it.
Yeah, definitely so. Well, it'll be a fun afternoon, swimming, sunning, cooking, eating. It's just going to be a great time today. And Lisa Monroe, with that, we have to duck off. Thank you again. I know you'll stay clothes free today because you're here and you're not leaving. So
that's right.
Enjoy your week and I'll see you next time. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Well, I'll see you in a little while. Bye, Frank.
That's right. Bye. The terrific Lisa Monroe, she pops in once a week for her weekly segments, and we appreciate her very much. Not only does she do that, she entirely runs the website for the show, and she brings goodies in almost every week. How about that? We've had a few people write in to say and ask, is she really that nice and that bubbly and that friendly all the time? You know, the answer is yes, she really is. Now, you don't want to tick her off. I won't get into that. Just, you don't want to make her mad. But there's no need to make her mad because she's such a nice person. Yes, it's really genuine. She is one of the nicest people we've ever met around this place. And we appreciate Lisa Monroe very much for her weekly reports and website work. Well, you are listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist, episode 46 today. Please review us and subscribe and rate and all that good stuff. Oh, by the way, 5 is the highest rating you can give. Just thought I'd put it out there. You're listening right now, so just give us a rating. We'd appreciate it very much. Puts us up in the game in the podcast world, not the naturism area. I'm talking about the big game, the full picture of the podcast community. So we appreciate it very much. Like, review, subscribe on Apple and YouTube as well. We'd appreciate that. And while you're at it, Spotify, why not? Well, let's get to part one now of my interview with the very terrific Andy Rogers. You know about her. She's been on the last several shows, including this one. This time it's just her, so let's get to it. Part one of my interview with the very terrific Andy Rogers. So we are going to the state of Washington. It's hard to track this lady down because every day it seems like she's in a different state. She's been on the I Am Perfect tour for WINR, Women in Nude Recreation, for ANNR, the American Association of Nude Recreation. We'll hear all about that as well as her backstory. We had her on the show before for a short interview. This is the full interview, so we'll get the whole story. Let's welcome her this morning from Washington, I believe, Andy Rogers. Good morning, Andy. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing so well. And yes, it's Washington today.
Okay. The state of Washington, correct?
State of Washington, you bet.
You guys have been doing this, I think, since February. When I say you guys, you and your husband, Tom, you've been going club to club to club promoting naturism, nudism, mostly for women, but Tom's been doing a thing promoting it with men as well. Is that right? For a few months now you've been doing this?
Since February 1st.
Yeah.
We left Serenity Mountain Retreat, our home club in Oregon, and just headed south, and then east, and then north, and then east, and then north again. Yeah, all over. We've been everywhere, man.
Yeah. You'll be home for a little bit in the middle, but then you're headed out again over the summer, right?
We are, but it'll be primarily just in our car. So our RV portion is done. And then we're going to hit as many clubs in the Northwest as we possibly can during our summer tour. It'll be a little less draining, I guess, traveling from place to place to place. So there's more time in between each presentation. So, yeah. And not such a distance to travel. So.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been doing some great work out there. We've appreciated your reports, almost weekly reports, basically, mm-hmm. on the latest club. And we get reaction here from people who absolutely love those, because they didn't know about a lot of these places and they're finding out. And You're doing great work for the clubs. You're doing great work for the people there, and you're doing great work for the listeners. So keep on doing what you're doing.
Okay. We've heard several times, hey, I heard you on a podcast.
Yeah.
So that's been really encouraging and wonderful to hear.
See, we're going to make you so famous around here, Andy. You'll have to change your name and your identity. So you'll be okay. Mary Smith from now on. If you go to the bank and say, my name is Andy Rogers, well, they'll call the TV crews and the Hollywood people.
I know.
If you say, I'm Mary Smith. Oh, Mrs. Smith will take care of you and get out of the bank in 2 minutes. So see, we're just trying to take care of you.
Oh, thank you. Somebody's got to.
All right, let's look at your backstory. Now, you have quite a lengthy story, and not all of it is good news. In fact, a lot of it is bad news until you found your way out of it. But you are not a lifelong naturist, nudist. In fact, for a long time, you had substantial body image issues. You probably couldn't have imagined yourself at a certain age. Clothes off. Are you kidding me? I want to put more clothes on. Let's dress in layers. So just take us from the beginning. What the heck happened? I know there was some abuse early on, and just take us through it all.
My earliest memory is from the age of 5. Just hearing words like you're homely or you're ugly or you're unwanted. Some from my parents' friends actually would come over and they would compare my sister and I and note how lovely she is with her long blonde hair and her blue eyes. And of course she is. But they would say, well, isn't it too bad how homely Andy is?
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know if they just didn't know that I understood what that meant or that I heard them. primarily it was my brother. So there's my sister's the oldest, my brother, another brother, and me.
Okay.
And my brother just took it upon himself to make my everyday a nightmare. So he would just tease me incessantly. And then if he could, hit or pinch or punch or kick me under the table, and he would. And then that I hid a lot on our farm, at a huge farm. It was 265 acres, which I absolutely loved. Yeah. But I would try to hide and he would invariably find me. But around the age of 10, he decided that I was very beautiful. And his wording changed, his narrative changed, because he was trying out his sexuality on me.
Oh, boy.
And so that went on for about a year. And then I couldn't take it anymore. So I told him, I'm done. And I was going to go tell mom and dad. And he's like, well, if you tell mom and dad, you're going to be in so much trouble. So I didn't. Yeah. But he did stop. But his teasing came back. And if I thought it was bad before, it was nothing compared to where he took it, completely to the next level. And so I decided around 11 or 12 to try to take my life.
Oh, wow.
I took a bottle of pills from the medicine cabinet and I laid down and went to sleep. And I was totally okay with that. I was very at peace with the decision. It's kind of a weird thing to think back on. But I crawled underneath the covers. My grandma McDonald made me this beautiful quilt and I went to sleep and I was okay with that. Mm-hmm. And I woke up, of course, and I told my grandma, and then my grandmother told my parents. And they disciplined Richard. I don't know how, but he did stop. Okay. And so I think after a year or two, we kind of entered more like a regular brother-sister relationship where we would still tease each other, but it was not like before. Mm-hmm. And so I think by high school, we were more of a normal family, it seemed. Okay. And then I could enjoy my farm. Yeah. And if you don't know, my maiden name was McDonald and I grew up on a farm. Love my farm so much. Yeah. But of course, there was never any nudity, because if I was nude, that would be a scary thing.
Oh, sure.
Around our house.
Yeah.
And I've had many people ask, well, how come your parents didn't know or didn't see? But they were just working so hard. Yeah. I mean, my dad worked 14-hour days and mom worked and he was very good at hiding it. So when I graduated from high school, I got married and started having babies. So I went from, in high school, I was 115 pounds and very tiny, had no curves, which of course wasn't what I wanted because that didn't garner the correct attention.
Right.
Because I was skinny, but I was too skinny. Then I got pregnant and I gained a fair amount of weight, 80 pounds. So after the baby was born and three more in pretty rapid succession. So four children in 6 years and no sleep. And
wow.
So my body issues went from being too skinny to now I had curves, but they weren't the right curves. You know, I had a mommy belly and I had hips that I didn't care for. They're not the svelte, you know, smooth hourglass hips. I call them my SpongeBob SquarePants hips.
At least you have a good sense of humor about it.
You've got to. Yeah. So, but my issues with my body just continued throughout my entire first marriage. I never felt confident in myself. I never felt beautiful. The images I was seeing were not what my body looked like in the mirror. So that self-confidence I never had it. Until I left my first husband, where our marriage just wasn't working. After the children were grown, I left. And then I was able to get my own apartment on my own, which I felt, which made me feel really good about what I could do as a woman and what I did for that separation and all that jazz, you know, many people know. But it felt good to do something on my own. And then this guy that I knew from church years, because we were all church going people, he came up to me he called me and he said, "Hey, I need to talk to you." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." We sat down and we chatted and he's like, I know that we belong together. I had left and it had been a bit of time after the separation and he had left his wife and he's like, "Andy, I just know we belong together." And I'm like, "Tom, I don't think so." It's just a no for me, dude. Because I do not think of you that way at all in any way, shape, or form. Have I ever thought of you that way?
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, well, I'll wait till your head catches up with your heart."
Yeah.
And and it took quite a while because I just didn't feel it. I just didn't. And then one day we're talking and he's reiterating, I know we belong together. And I'm like, "I don't think so." He's like, "Oh, just be quiet." And he kissed me and my knees buckled and I saw fireworks and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, that happens in real life."
It does. Yeah.
Apparently it does.
Yeah.
And then we've been together from that moment on.
So you realized he was not full of baloney. He was actually serious and genuine.
At that moment. Yes.
That's right.
He's been wonderful. He edifies me every day. He tells me how beautiful I am every day and special and wonderful, which was helpful. It was another step in that boost of self-esteem that somebody saw me so beautifully. So we decided to, or I decided to surprise him one day during our vacation to go to a nudist club because he's always said he's a nudist at heart.
Yeah.
And so we're out on vacation. I'm navigating where we go and we pull in to this club. It's it's closed down in Washington, but we pull in and the sign says, "You may encounter nudity beyond this point." And he looked at me and he's like, "What?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, this is for you though, dude. This is not for me. This is all for you."
Right.
So we get pulled in and we're setting up in our RV and he's doing the outside things and I'm doing the inside things. And I look out the big picture window and I see the hostesses walking another couple around that are there for the weekend. And she has nothing on but her shoes and a smile and so much confidence. And I looked at her and I'm like, "That's what I want. That's what I want. And what is my problem with my body?" So I had a sarong on, which is standard nudist attire, you know, tied up here, up to the top. But I took it off and I walked outside, but I held it in my hand. I'm clutching it just in case, you know.
Yeah.
And I walk around and I find him and he looks at me and he just gets this goofy grin on his face. Like, I knew it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm okay right now. And we spent the weekend there and was only the other couple that was there, which was just perfect for me to just have a few people was the perfect experience for me. Right. We had a great time that weekend and enjoyed the sun on my skin. And it was lovely.
How long ago was that roughly?
I think 8 years.
Okay.
8 years, I think, or nine. The years kind of jumble and get lost. It seems like we've always been together.
Now, as I recall, the woman you saw taking these people on a tour had shoes and a smile and nothing else. She was rather substantially, by societal standards, overweight, right?
Correct. Yeah. I would guess around 350 pounds, I think.
Yeah. Yet you saw her as this beautiful, very happy woman.
Absolutely.
Not any hang-ups at all about being nude.
No.
Yeah.
No. And so that's where I was like, well, you know, what's my problem? Why am I so, so negative about my body all the time? But it's what I heard all growing up at home. And then, of course, the words were my own. The words that kept bouncing around in my head were of my own accord.
But, well, percentage-wise, let me ask you this question. Now, it might be hard to quantify, but percentage-wise, you grow up with these negative comments from an early age. You know, why can't she be as beautiful as her sister? And she's kind of homely and, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Awful. I mean, parents are supposed to love and support and nurture their kids. You know, hi, honey, how are you? You look great today. Not, oh, geez, I guess we got one good one, one bad one, or whatever they said.
Well, it wasn't my parents.
Okay.
It was their friends.
But did they step in and stop it?
Not that I remember.
Yeah. So
not that I remember, but I'm, you know, I'm five, so I don't know.
Right.
My parents, were always great. I mean, my parents were amazing, but.
Yeah. But also with the marriage, you know, your first marriage, you know, you didn't get a lot of nurturing there either. You weren't told every day that you're beautiful. Well, now you are.
I think it was three times in 27 years. I remember him telling me I was beautiful.
Yeah. So that should be three times every 2 minutes.
But anyway. He told me I look nice and you look nice, you know, but I just, I needed more.
Yeah. Well, percentage wise, you were probably at zero at some point, like didn't think highly of yourself at all from a physical standpoint, for sure. What if your parents or your parents' friends had been complimentary toward you? And what if your first husband had been complimentary toward you? How much closer to 100 do you think you would have been?
Oh, probably more like 30 or 40. Okay. It was the abuse that really did the most damage, of course.
Okay.
And what he told me. And there were kids at school that were incredibly cruel as well, that added to that. One boy in my high school told me I was so ugly I should just do the world a favor and go kill myself.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, you just, and then you take that one thing out of 50 other things, but it's so massively damaging that that's what remains in your thought.
Well, that's just how the human mind works. You get a thousand compliments. You're the most beautiful woman ever.
Mm-hmm.
One person says you're as ugly as sin.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that rings in your head over and over again. Yeah. Especially for a woman. I know for some men, perhaps as well, but for us women, that's all it takes, you know, to do a lot of damage.
I mean, the only way to conquer it that I know of is instead of relying on other people to say you look beautiful and terrific, you have to get that strength from within. And that's what you've done. Yes, you've had help along the way. Tom has been great. And your adventures in nudism, naturism have been great. But ultimately, you, Andy Rogers, decided, you know what? I'm a pretty darn special human being, right?
I did. But it was a while. It was several year journey. And a lot of conversations with the other women that I met in the naturist realm, the women at Serenity Mountain Retreat and the women at Lake Bronson Club up here in Washington. Those conversations were what really finally helped me see myself in a different light. So they would tell me how they saw me. And of course, I can see so much positive in everybody else, which is, I think, a standard for us. But they would explain to me what they saw in me, the strength they would see and the confidence and the beauty.
Yeah.
And that over and over and over again was what really helped build my confidence. If someone is seeing this in me, well, it obviously must be there. So that's what I need to draw on. And then, of course, the negative thoughts in my head were less and less and farther between, because all of this beautiful positive was coming in. And then just the naturist lifestyle, where I don't have to put on clothes that are constricting, or, you know, I feel so much more confidence nude than I ever do when I put clothes on to go out in public. It's just so surprising. Never thought that was ever going to be a possibility, but so thankful that it is.
It goes against the opposite of what we've been told, or what we thought to be true. Turns out it isn't. I remember I had one woman many years ago say to me that wearing clothes, and she was a little bit overweight, no matter the size of the clothing, she might buy 2, 3, 4 sizes too big, but she can still feel the clothes on her. And then it comes to her, why are these clothes so big? Oh, yeah, because I'm overweight. And that she never found her way out of it. And I lost track of her. I don't know whatever happened to her. But being nude, which you think would be the opposite, like, I feel awful about myself. You want me to take my clothes off?
Yes. Yes.
And then you do like you did, and look what's happened. That's basically what you're telling people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that journey for me was several years. I know I'm just so impressed with women who embrace it so much quicker, and the courage and the strength that they have.
Yeah.
But I had to give myself the time. And what I tell a lot of the ladies in the workshop is that giving ourselves time, because I'm unlearning a lifetime of negative words and hate.
That's right.
The negative words from people, from myself, and then just an absolute hatred of my body, every single thing about my body. But give myself time for that, you know? Don't beat yourself up much, you know?
When something negative occurs, you do need time to heal, even if you cut your hand while lifting something in the yard.
Oh, that's okay. That's a great analogy.
Cut's not going to heal in 3 seconds. It might take a few days or a week or whatever.
Right.
A couple last questions on the, and then we'll get off the topic, but about the sexual abuse. First one, you mentioned when I asked you, had your parents' friends been kind to you and not ever said anything negative, and had your first husband been kind and loving and not said all those negative things to you? You said you'd be around 30% closer to 100. You were at zero. You'd be about 30. Without any sexual abuse from your brother, how much beyond 30 would you be? How much closer to 100?
I would say 60 or 70.
Okay. Okay. The second question then is, you mentioned some people have asked you, why didn't your parents do anything? And I can answer part of that. I wasn't there, of course, but nobody's going to sexually abuse anybody in front of others. So the fact your parents didn't know makes perfect sense, because your brother was no idiot. He's not going to, hey, mom and dad, we're watching TV together. Watch this. It's going to be when they're not around. And you you were afraid to tell them. And I've heard this story many times from people.
Yeah.
So what do you recommend for somebody who's 10 years old getting sexually abused? And of course, you don't have the money or the wherewithal to buy out and buy a mansion on your own. What do you do at that point? What would your advice be to somebody?
Oh, gosh.
Any age, really.
Right. Would be to just keep telling people, tell anybody until someone believes you or somebody takes notice.
Yeah.
I guess mine would be maybe my grandma McDonald, if I would have told her. I think if I would have told my dad, he would have put a stop to it immediately.
Yeah.
But dad at that time seemed kind of unapproachable to me. But maybe my grandmother, maybe an aunt. I had some aunts I could have told. And then a teacher. I mean, a teacher at school as well. Yeah. But just keep telling somebody until somebody listens. Yeah. And believes what you're saying.
Now, there's a bit of a risk to that at times. Okay, you tell a teacher or somebody, and they call your parents, they confront the brother, and then he might get really upset. and might take some action down the road. Is that a possibility, or how do you?
That's what was always in the back of my mind, that things were bad, but they could always get worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
They could always get worse. For me, it being my brother, I think was probably better. It's a weird word to use than say a father. I just can't imagine a child going through that with a father or a mother.
No,
because that's the ultimate authority. And once they knew about at least the physical and mental abuse that I was putting up with, they put a stop to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just didn't know about the other.
Yeah. And your dad never did find out, right? He passed away before.
Oh, he passed. Yeah. And I did tell my mother as an adult, we were sitting and talking, and she dismissed it. She didn't want to believe it.
Which is part of the issue too, which is another reason why women don't always come forward. Like, it's possible even my loved ones won't believe me. And in your case, she didn't.
She didn't. I just think she couldn't process it. I think it just was too much pain for her to, and I had found some healing, through prayer. I had found some healing, through that. I confronted my brother with it, and he apologized. It felt like didn't feel like a real apology, honestly. But we talk occasionally now. I feel he's just been a very tortured individual his whole life. So
sure. Yeah. I mean, well-adjusted, positively happy people don't do what he did. So obviously he had some issues going in.
He did. We found out that he was also abused at the age of 4. And so, that just does something. Of course, it does something to you mentally. Yeah. And that's hard to get over. And if you can't find your way past that through whatever means you need to get through that, then you just remain a tortured soul your whole life. So I love him. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for him. We don't talk often, but that's okay. Okay.
Yeah. And the hardest thing to fully understand as any person, particularly a woman, I'm guessing, is when somebody tells you, Andy, none of this was your fault, which by the way is the truth,
right.
But you still feel something, maybe not now, but back then, I must have done something. If I had done this differently, if I had done that, it wouldn't. No, none of it was on you. You've come to accept that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel the same for Richard, with what he went through as well. Yeah. So it's all just, there's no reason to keep any negative in there about that. And I realized that in my 30s.
Okay.
And letting that go was a very healing, positive thing as well. So,
it's amazing how that works. Once you let it go.
If we don't let it go, then it just, it remains there, and it's not good.
Be torturing yourself forever. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're talking to Andy Rogers this morning from Anner. She's the winner chairperson, Women in Nudist Recreation. She's been on this I Am Perfect tour. And Andy, let's turn our attention to the fun stuff now, the nudism, the nature. Talking to women about this. So what has your overall take been so far? You've been to multiple clubs. You have more to go. But what's your overall take? You walk in, and what is the reaction? But then what is the reaction at the end?
I think everyone's unsure of what to expect, because I don't think this has been done before. So with my advertising, I explained that I wanted to tell my story and how nudism has helped in my life. And made a big difference for my mental well-being. Mm. So I think when I walk in and ladies are sitting there, they're unsure what to expect. And then I share my story, a great deal of what I've just shared with you. I try to move quickly through that. I don't want to dwell on that.
Right.
And I want to move into, as we say, the positive things. And by the end of the session, every time I've had women come up to me and thank me for sharing my story. Mm-hmm. And they say, you're sharing my story as well.
Wow.
And so that's heartbreaking, I think,
sure.
In many different levels. A lot of them were because they were abused as children. And so they that connection. So what I'm wanting to do everywhere is connect with people on many different levels. So I'm connecting with people on that level. I'm connecting with women that have always disliked their bodies. Mm-hmm. Connecting with women that are have always been super positive. You know, I've grown up really beautifully and just had a great upbringing. And I'm thrilled to talk to them and hear about that. But as a winner, kind of my mantra that we came up with was it's the connection, community, and camaraderie that really bond women together and help us edify each other and build each other up. And that's what finally worked for me is that connection with my girlfriends, the camaraderie we have every weekend practically, you know, sipping coffee on the deck or having a glass of wine. And sitting around talking together, doing things together. And that's what really helped build me up. And the things that my girlfriends have told me, especially my, one of my friends, Diane, who just is really good with words. And she's the one who came up with I'm perfect.
Okay.
Because during the WOW campaign, the Women in One Word campaign of last year, that was her word.
Okay.
But she capitalized the I, she capitalized the P, making it I'm perfect. That also was incredible. Another step. Here's another step with the WOW campaign last year and all these incredible women who chose these powerful words and then the stories that went along with them. Mm-hmm. Diane's words are what part of what I talk about in my presentation is the fact that she's embracing everything about her body. She has legs and her legs dance. She has arms and her arms hug. She's got stretch marks, as do I, and you know, the mommy belly, but she's like, that's a reminder of my children.
Yeah. Right.
And so so you take that narrative and you change what you feel is negative about yourself and you find the positive in it. Mm. I've always hated my smile. I don't like it. I think it's goofy. I've never liked it. All these pictures that we're taking on all these different stops, you know, I'm looking at the progression of it. And at the beginning, I smile with my mouth closed. Mm. But now it's just big and bright. And I'm digging it. You know, so as women, we have to take those negative words that we've always felt about our body, turn it into, but this is why I'm perfect. It's because my legs do this, my arms do this, my hips do this, and, you know, it's changing the narrative.
The very terrific Andy Rogers, the current chairperson of WINR, Women in Nude Recreation, for the American Association of Nude Recreation. Now you can see why tears are shed every time she puts on a workshop. She has been through a lot. A lot of women have been through that. And she's found her way out, and now she's trying to guide other women. Here's how you can get out of all of this junk that others put you through, and one way is through naturism, nudism, clothes free living for all the right reasons, because it takes all of the junk away. And we appreciate very much all that Andy Rogers does for everybody, especially women, but men too, because men go through a lot of things as well. We just thank Andy Rogers for everything that she does. And again, part two of my interview with Andy Rogers in 2 weeks on episode 48, because don't forget, episode 47, next week, it's time to meet and greet and hear from the two candidates who are running for president of AANR. That's the current vice president, Tim Mullins, and I am the face of naturism, Linda Weber. Well, thank you for being with us today on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 46 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com, Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitter. You can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying
the naturist life.
We celebrate close-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked Nudist and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked Nudist and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.